Thank you, Craig. Those are good words to live by right there. Oops, looks like Jenny has children's church today. So if you have children 4 years old to 6 years old, you'd like to see go to children's church. Or maybe they would like to go to children's church. Whichever way you want to look at it this morning, you can send them to the back, and she will take them over to children's church. Rest of you will open your Bibles up to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Paul is writing these words, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and he says in verse 18, "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." You know, as Paul was writing these words, he was writing these words to the believers in Thessalonica, but they were kind of an immature, a young group. They needed to mature in their faith. They were being persecuted for their faith. They were confused. They didn't understand everything. They had members among their church dying, and they didn't think that was supposed to happen, that Paul writes these words to give them comfort. They thought that Christ would return before these kind of things happened. So Paul writes these words, and he's trying to help them understand what's going on around him. And one of the things that he says as he goes through there, he advises them to prepare their hearts for the return of Christ. Hey, one day Christ is going to return. You and I are in that meantime ourselves. We're preparing our hearts for either our death or the return of Christ. And so as Paul writes them, he encourages them. He says in verse 14, to encourage the faint-hearted, to help the weak, to be patient with everyone, to be kind, to pray without ceasing. And in the verse that I want to talk about today, in verse 18, he says this, give thanks. You believers, you be thankful for all that you've been given. Keep it on your hearts. Keep it on your minds because you have experienced a lot of goodness in your life. Think on those things. You know, those are good words for us today. Cicero said, a thankful heart is not only the greatest virtue, but it's the parent of all the other virtues. In other words, if you want a virtuous heart, think about the things. Kindness is born out of gratitude. Compassion out of thankfulness for your blessings. The virtues that we would all want as a part of our life grow from this seed called thankfulness. If giving thanks is the greatest virtue, then also I would say failing to give thanks may be one of the greatest sins. Yet so often we find ourselves not giving God gratitude for His provision. We get busy. We get distracted. We get discouraged. Whatever it is in our life that from time to time that cause problems to become so front and center in our lives, there are many times in the midst of those problems, we wake up in the morning, the first thing on our heart is not, God, you are good, but it's woe is me. I've got so much on my plate, so many problems, so many things I'd like to fix. And let me tell you, when we get that point in life, then life becomes not very enjoyable. Out of the blessing of being thankful come the fruits, other virtues. You remember the story in Luke chapter 17 that Jesus tells? You remember as he entered a village, he saw 10 lepers. All 10 of those lepers were in great need. They knew their condition. The Bible says they stood at a distance and shouted at him. They knew lepers don't go up to people. They shout from a distance. They knew who they were. They knew the problems they had. They hollered for mercy. And then you remember, as the story goes, Jesus told them to go and find themselves a priest because they had to go to the priest to be considered clean. And then the words are, on the way, they were cleansed. As they did what Jesus told them to do, they were changed. Their faith made them whole. But guess what? The end of the story is kind of sad. 10 were in need. 10 were cleansed. How many came back? Only one. Only one. 10%. They all received a blessing. Folks, I'm going to look around today and I'm going to tell you, every one of you are blessed. If you think you're not, then you're not thinking correctly. If you live in America, you are blessed. It starts there. You're in the upper 5% of the income of the world if you live in America. Even if you are poor in America, you are in the upper 5% of the world. You're blessed. If you're good enough today to be in together worshiping, yeah, you may have some aches and pains and problems, but you're able to get out and move around and do some things. You're blessed. How many of you this morning rolled out of bed and said, "Thank you, Lord"? How many of you rolled out of bed this morning and said, "Oh man, I got to do this"? Or, "Oh man, I've got this going on"? You see, we are too often like those nine instead of like that one. And you know the odd thing about that one? That one was a Samaritan. The least likely person to come to Jesus and say, "Thank you." We need to be like that least likely person. Grateful Christians are often reminded, and we grow in the understanding of God's grace. And as we are responsive to His gifts, He reveals more of Himself. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean that as we stop to say thank you for this, as we stop to say thank you for that, as we stop to remember His promises, we grow spiritually. He reveals more of Himself. In a sense, that is called putting on the mind of Christ. Romans 12:2 tells us, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." You see, the devil's greatest work is done in your mind. The devil seeks to discourage you. The devil seeks to make you doubt. The devil seeks to pound all the guilt and the regret of life into your head. The devil seeks to tell you God doesn't care anything about you. That's why you're struggling. That's what the devil wants you to believe. But when you put on the mind of Christ, you are reminded constantly of His goodness. You're reminded constantly of His gifts to you. You're reminded constantly of His promises to you. Now, which one of those things fills your mind more frequently? Which voice do you listen to? Do you listen to the voice of God, or do you listen to the voice of the enemy? Do you look at your life as blessed, or do you look at your life as something always negative, something's always wrong? Because what fills your mind comes from your heart. What fills your heart? The Scriptures remind us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus," because God wants gratitude to fill your heart, because it will change your life. You renew your mind on a daily basis. How many of you this morning have thanked God for something? And if you haven't, right now, thank God for something. Every time you roll out of bed, you have something to be thankful for. Every time you hug your kid, you have something to be thankful for. Every time you call your parents, you have something to be thankful for. Every time you consider what God has done for you, thanks can come from a renewed mind. As your mind is renewed, you rest in God's promises. You know, the world attacks you, but you rest in God's promises. You know, I've asked a couple of people to come and share today, because we learn some things about God in our life as we go through it. Not everybody travels the same road. Some people travel roads that are more difficult than others. You know, I was talking to, I guess it was Gary or Linda the other day, and they were talking about Lois. Lois had gone like 40 or 50 years without ever going to the hospital. I'm like, man, that's a great road right there. Not everybody is that fortunate. But one of the things we learn as we go through the bumps, we all have our different kinds of bumps. But as we go through life and we experience those bumps, we find that God is sufficient. This morning, I'm telling you, we've got some things to be thankful for, and there's some people going to come up and share testimonies of how God has been faithful in their life and some things that they have to be thankful for. The first one is Tammy Baker. Tammy, come up and share about God's faithfulness in your life.
Okay, I'm not real big on doing this in front of everybody. And when he asked me to give my history, I guess, with my life, and he said Thanksgiving, so I'm thinking, you know, like a couple weeks. So I really don't have anything planned, so I'm just kind of going to wing this. And he told me to only speak 3 minutes. And so I'll give you the three-minute version. We'll cram the last 15 years down to 3 minutes. I was diagnosed in 1999 with a very rare cancer at that time. It was called multiple myeloma. It's a blood cancer. I was age 29, and it's kind of called the old people cancer because you're usually much older. I'm not going to just like it's over 70 usually. I was the third youngest that MD Anderson had ever treated. We went through different types of treatments. Nothing really worked. Once I was diagnosed, you know how small towns, things travel fast. So, everybody in Wise County knew that I had been diagnosed with cancer. I was getting phone calls, cards. When they started to say they were going to do the bone marrow transplant, for some reason, the Wise County paper wanted to do a story on me. They wrote a bunch of stuff and did two or three different interviews with me, and I was getting cards and phone calls from people all over the United States. I'm going to add you to my prayer list. I'm going to ask you, add you to the church's prayer list. Is that okay? And I'm like, absolutely. I just really think the power of prayer got me through all that, got my family through it. I don't know how many prayer lists I was on. I just know it was a lot. 15 years later, since I had my bone marrow transplant in February the 1st, 2002. So in February, it will be 15 years that I've been cancer-free.
Tell you one little addition to that story is I was telling Reese this week that Tammy was going to share her testimony, and he said he'd known GA a while, and GA would ask him, tell him about Tammy, pray for my daughter, because she's going through this cancer, and said it was a weird thing. Said I prayed, I didn't really know who she was, but God put her on my heart so many times. I was almost praying for her on a daily basis. Didn't know who she was, but God laid that burden on my heart to pray for her. God answers prayer. God heals. God restores. And not just cancer and other diseases. God heals and restores broken lives. Because, man, the world we live in has so many people who feel like they're at the end of their rope, got no place to go. No way to climb up. But I'm telling you, life starts. Life depends on our relationship with God. If you're here today and you're struggling in life, your fulfillment, your happiness, your purpose depend on your relationship to God. If your relationship with God is out of whack, I don't have to even ask you how everything else is going in your life. It's obvious. Not only to you, probably not to you because we tend to cover over things, but to everybody around you. So the question is, will you turn to God or will you just kind of try to do it yourself? I'm going to tell you something. God heals and God restores. He changes your life. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. You know, when I read that, I get so excited because the Bible tells us God can take something that's worn out and make it brand new. He can take something that's useless and make it useful. He can change your life. I've asked someone else to come and share. Ron Barnes is going to come and share his testimony of how God changed his life. God's still working on that, right? No, I'm just kidding.
In that trailer, I'd have shot you because we ain't got no room on this ranch for a wild bull. Mm-hmm. Read you Jeremiah 31:18. Been dancing around, hit my iPad. These things are great, except you turn the page by touching it, and I got ham hands. Surely heard Ephraim's moaning. You disciplined me like an unruly calf, and I have been disciplined. Restore me, and I will return, because you are the Lord my God. There's a whole bunch of unruly calves and wild bulls out there in the world and right here in this room. Let me tell you, I was one of them. Out acting a fool on a big weekend, I could hit 8 of the 10 commandments pretty easily. And I'm telling you, in that trailer and let Jesus Christ show you them greener pastures. You ain't going to find what's there. You know, Rick Warren, you know, I think the purpose-driven church is the worst thing that's ever happened to Christianity in America. I'm going to be honest with you. I think it's horrible that they set the backdrop to match the preacher's clothes, and they have the music match, and their speakers he said something that's genius. Every one of us, me, you, everybody, has a void in their life, a vacuum, and it's shaped just like God. It won't nothing else fill it. Because I tried to fill it with drinking, and I tried to fill it with women, and some of us tried to fill it with drugs, and fast cars, and bass boats, and big houses. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And nothing fills the void except God. The only puzzle piece that you can fulfill yourself with is God. I'll tell you right now, a whole bunch of wild bulls, unruly calves out there, and God sent his cowboys out there to get you. And if you don't listen, if you don't load up in that trailer and accept Jesus Christ, it's going to be the cook fire, boys. That's your option. That's your options. And a lot of us almost waited too late. I almost got the cook fire. I've been to funerals of my friends that waited too late. Because you don't know if tomorrow is too late. And once I got God, the only puzzle piece that would fit in that God-shaped vacuum of my life, things started going great. All of a sudden, I kept a wife for more than 6 months. Who knew? Kept the same job. Quit spending all my money on alcohol. I had a buddy leave work, and we were riding together. We stopped by the liquor store, and he never knew that liquor stores had shopping carts. And I'm telling you, you can make all the wrong moves looking for the right thing, and you're not going to find it until God fills you up. That's all I got.
Ron is a living testimony that God can change your life, because not only has God changed his destination, he's changed his heart. Now Ron has a big heart for helping people, and he's really active in the community, helping people, hungry kids, get food on weekends and many other things. But, you know, that's what God is after. God is after changing your heart. And you know what? He's done the work. The question is exactly as what Ron put it. Will we be like the bull and fight all the way, or will we at some point relent and give in to his leading? You know, we know the story all too well. 2,000 years ago, salvation came to fallen man through the murder of the Lamb of God. Christ endured that great injustice of the cross for you. The murder of Jesus is the story of man's sin, but it's also the story of God's goodness. Acts 2:23 says this, "It was done as the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God." It was God's plan for Jesus to die. Think about that. It was the Father's plan for the Son to be crucified. Any of you dads plan that for your kids? None of us would do that. But Jesus wasn't just the victim who hung on a cross. Yeah, he was murdered illegally by men with evil intentions, but he died willingly. The atonement for your sins. And he took your place. Today, you see, we can thank God not for just what he can do, but for what he has done. His death is by far and away the most important event in human history. All of time revolves around his death. Every time you write a check, you testify to who Christ was. It's the focal point of history. And it ought to be the main thought of every Christian's life. So important that as Jesus prepared to lay down his life at the Lord's, just a little bit before he died, at the Last Supper, he told his disciples to do this in remembrance of me. In other words, you guys, life's fixing to get crazy. Every time you sit down and you take of this supper, do it in remembrance of me. This is one of the ordinances of the church, Lord's Supper and baptism. I'm going to ask our men to come forward now. We're going to prepare to receive the Lord's Supper. And this Lord's Supper is to be taken in remembrance of Him and what He has done for you with gratitude in your heart. And everything, give thanks for what God has done for you. Because this is nothing but symbolism of the blood and the body of Christ that was poured out for your sin. God ordained the murder of Jesus. Isaiah 53:10, it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. As we partake of the Lord's Supper, it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. I want you to think about what that means for God. It means He grew the tree. It means He created the men, the soldiers who would drive the nails, the stakes in the hands and feet of His own Son. For you, 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 He did it for you. Are you grateful this morning? Scripture tells us to examine ourselves. You see, gratitude is seen best in repentance, when we are sorry for what we've done wrong and thankful for what He has done right. The Bible tells us to examine ourselves. To me, the Lord's Supper is meant for believers. If you're not a believer, don't partake in the Lord's Supper. And it's meant to be done with gratitude in your heart and the repentance on your heart. If you're in opposition, if you're living in opposition to God, before you partake of the Lord's Supper today, stop. Ask Him for forgiveness. The Bible says, for those who partake unworthily, some have slept. That means died, because they partook in a wrong relationship with God. Let's have a time of silent prayer before the guys pass out the elements. You talk to the Lord about your relationship with Him right now. You tell Him thank you for what He's done for you. Lord, as we come to this holy moment, this time when we remember what You have done for us, through Your death, we find life. We find hope. Life finds meaning. Lord, thank You for Your broken body, the whippings that You took, spit. As people spit on You, mocked You, the ridicule, sorrow that You embraced so that we might have life. Thank You, Jesus. As we partake, I pray that we would remember. Amen. blood that Jesus shed to pay the penalty for our sin, the life-giving blood, what drained his life away, gives you hope in your life. As Paul recounted that, and it says, and when he had given thanks after breaking the bread, it said, in the same way he took the cup, also after the supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. You know, this morning, the Lord's Supper speaks of God's grace. But grace is something that has to be received. It's like the gift. It's, you know, it sits under the tree, but until someone opens it, it's just of no use to anyone. God's grace can change your life if you will open it and receive it. The devil will tell you that you don't deserve it. You know what? He may be actually on right on that. You don't deserve it, but it's been given. The devil will tell you God doesn't care about you. He wants to keep you bound up in your sin. But the grace of God reminds us how much he does care. The question that you have to answer this morning is, will you receive it? Are you thankful for it? Because you can't be thankful for something that you won't receive. What are you thankful for today? Are you thankful for a God who will change your life? Will you receive his gift? Have you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Okay, that's the first step. Once you've received Christ as your Lord and Savior, just as importantly is, will you follow his direction? There's an area of your life where you are in opposition to God. You don't have to ask who's right. You're wrong. You have to admit that you're wrong. Seek his forgiveness, because it's there if you're willing to seek it and allow him to change you. Are you willing to be changed this morning more into the image and the plan that God has for you? Ron's beautiful illustration there said, you know, you're coming on the trailer one way or the other. You know, you can fight it. You'll go one way or the other. The question is whether you're going to go willingly or be pulled. Because God can get you where he wants you to go, but one is a lot easier way to get there than the other. Are you ready to give God control of your life today and say yes, Lord, to whatever he has for you? Let's do that in this time of invitation. We'll offer you the opportunity to hear God's voice and to say yes to his plan for your life. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for your grace. And as we celebrated in remembrance the Lord's Supper of what you've done for us, I pray that it would go deeper than that, Lord. It would go to change lives. That we would be willing to say yes in every area of our life. Lord, if we're living in opposition to you, if sin has taken hold in our heart, that we would repent and find forgiveness and experience your grace. If there's anyone here today who has not trusted you as their Lord and Savior, and they've been fighting against it, but Lord, today you've spoken to their heart and you've shown them what you desire for them to do is to turn their plan and purpose over to you and let you live through them a different plan, a new life, new creation. May we respond as you lead in Jesus' name. Amen.